Thank you, Rick. It's a real privilege to be able to be with you this morning. Beautiful drive up from Escondido, and it was fun to have Piper along in the back seat. She was enjoying all the snacks we packed the night before, so we had a great time. And then to be here, I've come to several fire regional conferences here, and so it feels like coming home, sweet fellowship that we share. I get excited personally when we get the half sheet in our bulletin to pray for this particular church, because I've been here. Not only have I been here, I've been fed very well when I've been here, so it adds to those memories, both spiritually and then also physically, because you feed the pastors at the fire regionals incredibly. So thank you so much for your service, all who help in that way. As Rick said, my name's Craig, and I am one of the elders at GBC. We often joke that I'm the youngest elder there, which you can probably tell by looking at me. So that's a joke that goes around the church, but it's been such a privilege to serve with the other elders. And my primary area of responsibility is overseeing IBCD, and that stands for the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship. It was founded in 1982, initially as CCEF West. Some of you may have heard of CCEF, Christian Counseling and Education Foundation. They're back near Westminster East, and they have lots of writings and resources you may be familiar with from Ed Welch, David Pollison, some just great resources that come out of them. So we were CCEF West, and then in the early 90s changed to IBCD, the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship, and came under the care of the local church there. And then in 2006, moved under the oversight of Grace Bible Church. And then in 2008, I went to Westminster Seminary and came into contact with IBCD and have been there ever since. So it's just been a blessing. I'm married to Darcy, and we have three girls. Piper's 7, Adele is just about 3, and then we have Claire, who just turned 1. So we have lots of ladies in the house, it feels like. So it's been fun. But I want to talk to you about what IBCD is and where the Care and Discipleship curriculum came from that you'll be going through, and then give time for interaction on any questions that you may have. And I'm so excited to come to a like-minded church that believes in the power of the gospel, not only for salvation, but then also for ongoing sanctifying change in the life of a believer. I know that the word is faithfully preached here. I know that there's good shepherding and care and a healthy church that's seeking to grow. And that's exciting to me, because one of the things that happens for us at IBCD is we exist as a counseling training center. Our goal is to equip churches to be able to do one another care and to be able to shepherd the needs of their people and to help believers address the problems in their lives. Most people see us, in our area at least, as a counseling center, which is a little different than a counseling training center. And so we get lots of calls from people seeking counseling, which is one of the things that we do. But what's sad to hear so many times in them seeking us for counseling is that the idea of going to anyone in their church for help is completely foreign to them. That's one of the first questions that we ask. You know, someone calls with a problem, a struggle that they're facing, and we say, well, have you talked to your pastor about that? And it's amazing the responses that you get, but a lot of times they would say, no, why would I do that? Why would I ever talk to my pastor about my daughter who's cutting herself? Why would I ever talk to my pastor about my panic attack that I had 3 weeks ago at work? I'm calling you. What's even sadder to me is when we get the calls and we ask that question and they say, yes, I did. And he said he doesn't do that kind of stuff and told us to call you. And that happens. And I can understand that to an extent about some of the complex problems we get at IBCD. We often have some of the most difficult cases that come through churches. So I can understand that. But what's really sad is a run-of-the-mill marriage conflict. And they're saying, my pastor said he doesn't have time for that. Call you guys. And so that's the presenting problem for us at IBCD. We discovered a secret. And the secret is that Christians have problems and struggles. Maybe you're aware of that, right? But we found this out. And then the sad part of the secret, as we just mentioned, is that Christians don't view the church as having anything to do with those problems many times. And there can be various reasons for that. some of us have been taught, whether overtly or even just subconsciously, that our problems are primarily medical, and because our world is just convinced of a medical model for everything, right? And so if your problem is primarily medical, then how do you remedy that problem? You remedy that problem with a medicine. And while there are organic components of many of the struggles that we face, the interplay of the mind and body is incredibly complicated. One of the things that our society and culture has often left out of that equation is, while many things are organic and connected to our body, everything in this life as an embodied soul has a spiritual component to it. That there's always a spiritual aspect to every struggle that we're facing. And that's part of the solution that's been left out of kind of mainstream self-help media. And unfortunately, sometimes left out of the counseling and coming to our churches. I attended Moody Bible Institute to do my undergrad, and that's where I met my wife, and we just have great memories of Moody together. But I was thinking back through my pastoral training at Moody, and it could really be summarized as listen, pray, and then send away. If people come to you for struggles, they need someone to listen to them, which is a great component. Pray for them, which is another great thing to do. But you don't really have anything to contribute as a pastor. They need to go see some sort of specialist to help them with that problem. And I remember thinking at the time when I was doing that pastoral training, well, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, people's problems are way too complicated for us to have anything to say. And then I landed as a youth pastor in Hesperia, California. And that model to me was challenged a little bit as time after time, student after student would come to me with problems. And I felt so shallow to just listen and then pray and then really just send them on their way. I remember in the course of a few months having two students come to me who's different students in different schools, and their mothers had each attempted suicide that morning. And they came in to see me, and I remember sitting there thinking, I have no idea what to say to these kids. And so I'll listen, I'll ask them if they're sad, I'll pray for them. And then it even intensified as the students would go out, and then the parents, the husbands came and sat in just bawling in my office, asking me how would they go on when their wife had just attempted to take her own life that morning. And so that was back-to-back in the course of a few months. And then obviously, just being in youth ministry, working with teenagers and the struggles that they face, you know, the cutting, the eating disorders, the conflicts, all these things that are taking place, and it really, I felt so inadequate, so ill-equipped to do anything to help in the situation. And then that's when I ended up, well, shortly after that, I ended up going to seminary at Westminster and landed at Grace Bible Church down there. And lo and behold, the Institute for Biblical Counseling and Discipleship is a ministry of Grace Bible Church. And they actually needed a secretary at the time, someone to just help with appointments. And so I took that on because it would fit well with the seminary schedule. And I remember showing up on a Monday night, seeing people come in and go into rooms, and then to come and to talk about the cases in the observation meeting and hear that the counselors felt that they had something to say to these people and their struggles, and that what they had to say wasn't from years and years and years of secular training that was ethereal and very hard to grasp, but instead it was counsel from the Word of God about how there was a spiritual aspect to the struggle that they had and how God's Word addressed that very particular situation, and how we wanted to bring that care and that one anothering and that one another word ministry to bear, and then to week after week see lives changed as the very same problems that I was facing and told you have nothing to say about were brought in, and they said we have something to say from God's all-sufficient word, and to see the power of the gospel work in hearts, it was an incredible thing. And so I thought, where has this been? I wish I would have had this, and I need to get more of this. And so I was fortunate to be able to go through the training, and then that worked into being able to stay with IBCD and Grace Bible Church, and I'm so thankful for that. So all that to say, our mission is to help churches be able to equip the people in churches so that you don't feel like I felt when I had people coming to me with their various struggles. so that as you are seeing the relationships that God has brought into your life, and as you're looking at your own soul and your own heart and the struggles that you face, you're seeing that God has allowed those struggles to take place within the context of a community of believers. And that community of believers, the church, He has designed it to be able to function, that there would be the preaching ministry on the Lord's Day and then other feeding that takes place. But then there's also the one anothering ministry of caring and also bringing the word to bear in the relationships that we have. And as we do that, our lives are transformed. And how we've decided to do that, one method that we've come up with, or a tool really to help people grow in the process, is the Care and Discipleship course. And really what that does is it's just giving, I view it as giving you a toolbox of the basics of what biblical counseling is. And it's saying, hey, here's a toolbox with a hammer, a tape measure, maybe a level, a screwdriver, you can pick what tool. But saying, you, by God's design, have been equipped with the Word and the Spirit to be able to help one another grow in the body of Christ and to help each other through these struggles. And so that believers would be more and more understanding that when we come into a situation that's difficult, rather than thinking the last place on earth I would ever talk to anyone is the church, instead we think that's the first place. And oftentimes the only place, although there are other helps that come alongside because of common grace, medical issues, all kinds of things. But the soul counsel, soul, S-O-U-L, taking place there under the oversight of the church. And if you think about it, the model that we're trying to build that I think, well, let's look at Scripture too. That's nice that I've been talking about my ideas. But Romans 15:14, let's just see that this is God's idea as well. Romans 15:14, obviously Paul's talking to the church at Rome, and it's really fascinating what he says about them. I mean, earlier on he said, I desire to come and to preach the gospel to you, probably not necessarily because they were unconverted, but because of the centrality of that gospel message for their ongoing growth. So he's acknowledging, even in the book of Romans, that growth still has to occur, right? The Romans weren't some spiritually elite church that was just far above everyone else in the early Christian world. They were a normal church. And notice what he says about them. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. That phrase there, able to instruct, the verb nutheteo, right? And you may have heard the phrase nuthetic counseling. That can mean all different things to all different people. What it's doing is it's coming out of this idea that you have been equipped by God to instruct, to admonish, some translations say. It's this idea of coming alongside and really bringing the word to bear in the life of another person for redirection, for growth, for change. And he's saying, I'm confident that you, Romans, you are competent to do that. Why? Not because they were amazing, but because they have the Word of God and the Spirit of God. And Paul knows that this is God's design, that this is how believers would work together. Another passage with great bearing on this is Galatians 6, 1 to 2. And you can turn there. And just notice how universal both of these passages are. He isn't just writing to the elders, although we're going to talk in just a moment how the elders are obviously a key part of this process. We're in no way undermining their role, but just saying that it goes beyond that to a one another ministry of the entire church. Galatians chapter 6, we'll look at verses 1 and 2. He says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do you notice what's supposed to happen? If someone's caught in a sin, if someone comes either ensnared by it unexpectedly or continuing to plunge into that, you who are spiritual. And we can go, well, what does he mean by that? I think Paul's doing two things there. I think he's reminding us of the indicative there. You who are spiritual, meaning you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. But then I think there's also a slight imperative with that too. Being led by the Spirit, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, you're conducting this according to the work of the Spirit. So it's not just you go up in some haphazard fleshly way to deal with this, but you who are indwelt by the Spirit in a spiritual way are supposed to restore this person in a spirit of gentleness, all the while keeping watch on yourself, and then tied right to that, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So that's a command just to be entering in right there to the burdens and the struggles that we are finding in these relationships we find ourselves in. And then passages that just reinforce for us how God's Word is designed to do this and just the sufficiency of it would be 2 Peter 1:3. And I can just read it for you. You can turn there if you'd like. 2 Peter 1:3. We have grown up, or we live in a world, at least, I don't know if we've grown up in this world thinking this way, but that just has these clear categories of here's what you get at church, and everywhere else, that's where you find out real stuff. And you get this little bit of stuff at church, right? You learn about salvation, or how to be good, or whatever people think. But notice 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence. And then as you go on, you find out through His great and precious promises, right? That the Word is central to this means by which He is granting to us what? All things that pertain to life and to godliness. And it just reinforces for us again that there is a spiritual component to every struggle that we face. And where do we find the help for that? In the Word of God, by the power of His Spirit, as we are one another in this together. And then the verse that you probably have memorized for sure, but the 2 Timothy 3:16, right? All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correcting, for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Every good work. So knowing how to conduct yourself as a believer in your marriage, knowing how to conduct yourself as a believer in your family, knowing how to conduct yourself as a believer who's struggling with great loss, who's struggling with great discouragement, who's struggling with worry and fear and anxiety. All of these things, God's Word has come that we would be thoroughly equipped to deal with them. For me, that was revolutionary. To start to realize everything I struggle with is in some way addressed by the Word of God as it presents to us the glorious news of this gospel, of what God has done and what He is doing now, and that there is an intersection in every struggle I have with how the life change He has brought in Christ is being worked out in this particular struggle, and how it's preparing me for glory, shaping me into the image of Christ. We have a view like that. It reshapes how we view all these things that were once put off in a compartment of things we don't really talk about. So there's kind of a brief scriptural basis. You'll get much more of a scriptural basis as it's unpacked in this. And so let me just talk for a few minutes about the logistics of this, and then I'll open it up for questions. But one thing I did want to mention too, just so you have the big picture, if we think about the church, and I know that the church is not a building, but a church is, it's housing the living stones of the people of God. We think about, you know, many people. I'm trying to remember to put arms on all of them. We have many people, and missed arms. There we go. Okay. Great. We have many people in the church, and the problem is, well, not the problem, but the reality is we all are struggling with things. The problem has been that we go out here for the help, And what we want to have happen, what God's design is especially if we think about that he has entrusted the care of the souls of the people in the church to whom? To the elders, right? Hebrews 13:17, that they are the ones who give watch over our souls. That they are, that is, they will stand before God and give an account for all the sheep whom he has placed under their care. And so they are involved in spiritual soul care, bringing the word to bear both publicly and both privately, shepherding the people on a macro level and micro level, all kinds of responsibility placed upon the elders. But we also have the one another's, which take those various ministries and break them down and say, we all as believers are, for almost every ministry that an elder does, we all have a part to play in that and are doing it at a level as well. And so you have this church that's filled with people who are predominantly taught to go elsewhere. The biblical counseling curriculum is helping us see that God's word says, wait a minute, all these things are relationships and contexts to be helping each other grow. And as life is impacting life, then we'll find out about these problems, these struggles, and we'll also be equipped with the Word of God to have something to say to address these. And then what ends up happening is it kind of starts to function like the Moses and Jethro model, right? Like that Jethro came and told Moses, hey, wait a minute, you can't spend your time on every little thing that's taking place, right? You need to have these other judges who are able to take care of these lesser matters. And so as the whole church, sorry, I'm getting a little low here, but I think you'll get the idea. As the whole church becomes aware of this model of one another care and is being more thoroughly equipped, then this one anothering is happening at every level. And then what you're finding is some are more skilled in this, and God has gifted them, and they have more time and ability to be able to handle a little more serious or difficult issues, working with the leadership in that. And then what's also happening is what we call preventative counseling, preventative care is taking place. Because one of the most discouraging things in church leadership is that you find out a marriage is having trouble, and when do you find that out? When the suitcase is already packed and on the front door, when he's been kicked out of the house, or the affair has already happened, or whatever it may be, and you get the call in the middle of the night, or they come into your office and the papers are about ready to be signed, and you just think, oh, if we had just known about this sooner. I mean, there's still hope because God can do amazing things. But if we had just known about this sooner. And so what happens this way is as we all become aware of this one another model, preventative counseling is happening that keeps it from getting there. And then also, as you're involved in a relationship and someone opens up to you and reveals to you that they are having a significant struggle, that A, you still have something to say because you're still involved by the Spirit and can still encourage with the Word, but also you say, a contrary to a psychology model where it's one person who's a specialist who can fix everything. No, we see it as a model of it's the church. And so friend confesses to you difficulty. You have a way to encourage and bring hope with the gospel. And then part of what you're saying is you're seeing this whole bigger picture and saying, and can we go together to one of the elders? Can we go talk this through? Because I know that this